and welcome to the Not-So-Secret Guide to Being a Berkeley Engineer. I'm your host, Laura Vogt, the Associate Director of Marketing and Communications in the College of Engineering. This week, I'm really excited. We've invited Tiffany Reardon from Engineering Student Services to join us and talk about this summer and give us some tips for getting ready to be Berkeley engineers. Hi, Tiffany. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Laura. Thanks so much for having me.
And Tiffany, could you tell us a little about yourself and your role at ESS?
Absolutely. So I am the Associate Director of Engineering Excellence Programs. And in that role, I direct the PREP and TPREP program.
And so let's get to what I think is the number one question that students have of what should they be doing this summer to get ready to be Berkeley engineers?
Okay, that's an excellent question. So first of all, congratulations. Congratulations on your high school graduation or transferring from a community college. You've worked really, really hard. And I know a lot of students are really, really eager to kind of get started. The first thing I would recommend that you do is just kind of take a look at what you've accomplished and really kind of, let that sink in. I know that because of the COVID situation, perhaps a lot of milestones and commencements have been, delayed or postponed. But I really want you to really congratulate yourselves on what you've achieved. You've achieved a lot. And as you prepare and decide what you're going to do this summer, think about what got you here, what things you're passionate about, what things that, brought you to Berkeley Engineering. Really reflect on those things.
And I know students do have a couple different things that they have to do as UC Berkeley students this summer, beginning with their Golden Bear Advising, which Kathy and Sharon talked about that last week during our podcast. So GBA is really focusing on choosing their fall courses. But I want to know if you have any suggestions for what students could do to get ready for that first semester of classes that they're taking, like math or physics or chemistry.
Absolutely. So I think the even when we're not, in an online format and students are thinking about their fall classes, I think the inclination is to load up. I just want to say and really stress that when you do your Golden Bear orientation, If the load looks light, right? If you're used to taking, seven classes, if the load looks light, your ESS advisor that you work with in GBA, they will, they know and they have your best interest at heart. So they are giving you really good advice. So even if it does look like a light load, it's not a light load. And if you don't believe me, you can go to every single class and next to the class, it will list the workload, right? So how many hours is the lecture? How long is the lab? How long are the discussion sections, right? So you'll get a sense of that. So as you plan your schedule, take that into consideration. In terms of preparation, I think that the number one thing you can do is, regardless of what classes you're taking, I think this is a beautiful opportunity to utilize online resources. As engineering students, I would say 100% of you are going to be taking a math class this fall. I think that's safe to say. Now, what math class you choose to take will depend on your AP scores. It will depend on, what you and your advisor together come up with. But what you can do in terms of preparation, if you on the Berkeley Engineering webpage, the Tau Beta Pi, which is a Berkeley Engineering Honor Society, they have a test bank. And they have a test bank of pretty much every STEM class that you will encounter during your time at Berkeley. Look at those old tests and do a couple problems, right? Do a couple of problems for Chem 1A. Do a couple of problems for Math 1A. Do a couple of problems for, Math 1B. See if those, how those questions, if they jump out at you and you're like, ooh, I need to brush up on that. That's a good thing, right? That's a good thing to do this summer versus when you're actually taking that test in the fall.
Yeah, because some students might not have taken a math class this year if they had taken everything up to what their high school offered them.
Absolutely. And in addition, a lot of students in their senior year, you know, they might have a lighter load, or perhaps as a result of the, you know, stay at home, they're not in class. And so they're not getting the same intensity, if you will. So I think that, you know, knowing that and recognizing that, that's a good thing to know now versus later on.
And that's the same for our transfer students, right? The test bank also has some of the higher level classes.
Absolutely. So most of our community college transfer students will take, on the coding side, they'll either take MATLAB, which is our E7, or they'll take CS61A if they are a EECS transfer student, or perhaps CS61B. You can look at all of those classes in the test banks for, you know, previous exams. And you can also watch lectures. You can watch lectures, old lectures that were webcast as well, just to kind of get a sense of the material that'll be covered.
That's also a good way to get used to the different teaching style that you might encounter here at Berkeley.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because one of the things that students typically comes as kind of a surprise is that I think Berkeley has a notorious, you know, thought that, you know, there's a grade deflation and, you know, here we are that, you know, they're making it harder. I think if the way that you look at that is that in high school and in community college, you're presented the information. You're mm-hmm. presented the information, and then you're tested on that information. UC Berkeley, you're presented information, and then typically you are tested on how you would approach a problem. That's a big difference, right? So right. Thinking about how you would approach a problem, not just, okay, I've given you the information, now recite it back to me. So it's all about problem solving. And as engineers, all of you are natural problem solvers. It's just a matter of really understanding how your particular professor, their delivery and methodology, and really what they're asking. I think that's the number one thing that I see is sometimes students will say, well, I don't really understand what they're asking, right? And so really knowing how to break down a problem, I think is probably the thing that you learn. And once you grab and once you get the hang of that, it's like this aha moment, like, oh, I get it. Okay, I understand. And usually probably students come to that probably at the end of their first semester, believe it or not. But I think going into that and knowing that is very helpful.
And I know a lot of our students have to do coding, whether they're brand new to it or they're brushing up on it. So are there resources that they could get a little bit more of an introduction or that brush up?
Absolutely. I think that this summer would be an amazing opportunity for students to kind of at their own pace do coding okay. online. Now, I say at your own pace because I would say that, you know, you want to, right now, you don't have a Berkeley GPA. You don't have any GPA. So I would, I'm always an advocate for starting in the fall semester, your courses, for a number of reasons. But if you decide that, you know, you want to do some online, there's a lot of online courses that are 100% free. One particular resource that I've actually had a lot of students tell me that they've used is the Learn to Program book by Chris Pines. That's introducing students to Ruby on Rails. And I think that's a really, really nice segue into learning to code because it can be done at a self-paced. I mean, I've had, you know, PhD students tell me that that's how they learned to code back when, you know, they were just starting college. I've had a lot of students that have utilized the summer before beginning Berkeley reading that book, and they go into it. And it goes back again with what I mentioned earlier is knowing what your professor is asking, and it teaches you how to think like a programmer, and that's
okay.
Another one, if you're going to be using MATLAB, there's a great a Coursera called Intro to Programming with MATLAB. That would be a nice one as well. The issue with MATLAB is it's very time consuming, so it's a very, very time consuming class. I wouldn't advocate taking MATLAB over this summer before you've started Berkeley. I think that would be not a good idea. But if you did a Coursera course where you do it at your own pace and you do it independently, when you do take the course for real, it'll give you a lot of foundation, and you'll become familiar with how to use MATLAB and with what MATLAB can do. Another one, a lot of our BioE students will eventually take, whether it's MATLAB or Python, they'll give you the choice. Coursera has a great course called Programming for Everyone, which is in Python. And that's a good kind of user-friendly, you know, segue into Python. Another one that I think would be pretty amazing and useful, there are very own Dan Garcia, who's a professor at Berkeley. His Beauty and Joy of Computing, his class is offered through edX. The thing I like about his class is that now taking his class, you really look at the idea of programming, right? So the creativity, the data, the algorithms, programming, and really the global impact, right? So if you're looking for a class like, okay, I want to learn Python, like that's not the class to take, right? You would take maybe one of the other classes that I mentioned. But if you really want to learn and discover the global impact, and if you really want to, you know, understand algorithms and kind of how the internet works, Beauty and Joy of Computing would be a great resource. And he's also a very lively and entertaining professor. So that might be something you'd enjoy as well.
And the only one that I've heard about that you didn't mention was the Khan Academy.
Khan Academy is a phenomenal resource as well. So Khan Academy would be a good one. They have a lot of classes as well. I mean, they have everything from, you know, classes on well-being to learning to code to math to chemistry. They're another great resource, and they are 100% free as well.
So those are all really great things that if you just want to brush up or something or get an introduction to it before you get on campus, and they're all free for you. And we'll have the links to everything that Tiffany just talked about on our website, welcomeengineer.berkeley.edu. So can students start learning about the faculty that they're going to be interacting with over the summer? Is that something that they might want to start looking up?
Absolutely. So what I would do if I were you is I would look, depending on what major you're have been accepted into, I would look at the faculty in your departments, right? So I would look at their web pages. I would look at their personal web pages. I'd look at their course web pages. I would look at the research that they've done, maybe even read some articles about the research that they've done. You want to make a connection with those faculty. Faculty are really there to help you, to support you. A lot of students that I talk with, new students, whether they be community college transfer students or incoming freshmen, sometimes they don't know exactly what area of engineering they want to pursue, right? Mm-hmm. So you might be a mechanical engineer, but what does that mean, right? There's so many facets of mechanical engineering. You might be into robotics, you might be into aerospace, you might be into controls, right? So really those faculty are great resources to kind of give you a glimpse into career options that you might pursue or research areas you might pursue. So I think if you utilize your time over the summer to make a list of faculty. In addition, all of you have faculty advisors, and I think faculty advisors aren't utilized enough by students because they aren't aware, like, oh, wait, you mean I have a faculty advisor that I can go to and talk to? And I think if you utilize your faculty advisor, the best way to do that is if you know some background information about them. And how do you find that out? By the internet.
Okay. And so do you think it would be good for students to put together a resume or to begin building like a LinkedIn profile before they get here?
Absolutely. So LinkedIn really is a catch-all for many things. Certainly for internships, If you're interested in getting internships, LinkedIn, I always tell the students to update their LinkedIns. All of you should update your LinkedIn because you have a big change, which is now that you're a Berkeley engineer. So I would update that. You should have a photo. You should have some of your achievements outlined on your LinkedIn. You should connect with other people. You should connect with Berkeley Engineering to hear about some of the amazing things our faculty and students are doing. You should utilize the time this summer to, you know, have your LinkedIn be something that you want to, you know, showcase, right? Simply having a LinkedIn doesn't really do much, but you want to have things on there that really talk about what you're, you know, that are aligned with your goals and what you want to do. In addition, every single student should start working on your resume. For the community college students in particular, you know, you have, you know, 4 semesters, 5 semesters until you're going to be looking for full-time work or graduate school. So really putting together all the accomplishments that you've done. The Career Center has some amazing templates that we can put links to. I really like the templates because they actually have templates that include how you would list a community college experience. In addition, they also highlight the difference between, say, a resume and a CV. So a CV would be more of a research-oriented resume. And they have some very nice templates. I think they have some very nice templates, and they also have some great wording that you can use to kind of describe what you've done.
And the Career Center, they start recruitment or the job fairs pretty much right off the bat, don't they?
They do. They have a career conference that really starts, I think the career, as far as I know, it's before the semester begins.
Or I think it's the first Friday of the semester this year. We're doing it online.
So the first Friday. So that means that as soon as you, you know, are taking classes, you know, so it's better to prepare for that now versus like getting your resume together, you know, like the first week of school, that would be kind of hectic. Also, you know, sometimes students will tell me, well, I don't have anything to put on my resume. I can guarantee you every single person that is a newly admitted student, that is not true. And if you don't believe me, go back and look at your UC application, because you had to put on your UC application, you had to put honors and awards, you had to put extracurricular, you had to put work experience, you had to put all of those things. All of those things on there are things that you should be celebrating and putting on your resume. Even if it's things, now sometimes students will say, well, you know, that's not related to engineering. It doesn't matter. If you were in the band in high school, I can't tell you how many students I've known that have been in the band in high school. And I can tell you that those skills that you've acquired through things like being in a band or being in Model UN or being in the Key Club or being in other clubs, which might not on the surface seem like they're engineering related, they really are. In addition, community college students, I've had a lot of community college students that have done service in the military. So you want to list that. And especially I've had students that had previous military experience and have gotten internships like almost immediately. So you want to highlight those skills, and no one's going to know those skills unless you put it out there on your resume.
Awesome. One of the ones that I was thinking about, if we're doing research over the summer, is should they start looking at student orgs and competition teams to see what's out there?
I think in engineering, we probably have about 90 student organizations as a whole in the university. I think we have like 1,200. So looking at those as well. And you can find those on the Engineering Student Services webpage. There's competition teams, there's consulting clubs, there's chapters of national engineering associations such as ASCE, ASME. There's also affinity organizations, cultural organizations, you name it. So I would you know, look and see and look in. Only two, I would say. One or two, because you don't want to overcommit yourself. But one or two, I think that would be good. And also, if you don't see one that you, you know, that is interesting, you know, that's in the future, right? In the future, maybe that's something to aspire to. Definitely not your first semester, but I'd be very surprised if you couldn't find something. We have a pretty wide array of opportunities.
And do you think there's such a thing as being overprepared? How do you suggest that the students this summer stay balanced in what they're doing?
I don't think there's anything of being overprepared. There's definitely burnt out, right? And you don't want to burn yourself out. I think with anything, and I think that, you know, if I have the pleasure of working with any student listening, which I hope I do, but you're going to hear me say this a lot, is under commit and over deliver, right? So I would rather see a student, you know, maybe work on their resume and LinkedIn over the summer and maybe read the Chris Pine book, right? Do those two things and do them very well versus, you know, those students that might be very eager and do a laundry list of things that we recommend and not really fully do all of them, right? So pick one or two things that you're going to pursue, stick with it, and do it well. I think that this opportunity to, you know, this summer to focus on these things, and again, I can't stress enough to really reflect on your goal setting, is really important. And also utilize the social media, utilize things like this podcast to get more information. There's no harm in being well-informed.
Well, thank you so much for coming today and sharing with all these fantastic resources with our students.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And thank you everyone for tuning in to the Not So Secret Guide to Being a Berkeley Engineer. I look forward to podcasting with you throughout the summer. Bye.